We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to Good Morning, Hunter and Hunter. We're here to come. The Crazy For You cast of Hunter Central Regional High School is with me. And we brought in another set of characters. And first we're going to speak to Bella. Bella Zanglin. Good morning, Bella. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. What are you, Austrian, German? What is that?
I'm Hungarian.
Hungarian? Okay.
Yes.
Now, how did you acquire your Hungarian accent in Hunter County?
With lots of practice. Yes.
And
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Looks like Trump has got the Republican side. He's not a political insider. I think he should pick Kasich as his running mate.
Voting is underway today in another round of key presidential primaries, and today's contest could mark a turning point in the race for the White House.
Do you care about the election?
No.
I'd probably go for Kasich right now.
Kasich could be out.
Can't see myself voting for Trump.
So if Kasich doesn't get in, what are you going to do?
Probably not vote.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I have no alternative.
Alice Stockton Rossini talking with voters early this morning. The governor of Georgia threatening to veto a bill to allow guns on college campuses in the state if lawmakers don't make major changes. Governor Nathan Deal wants universities to be able to set their own rules regarding disciplinary hearings for weapons-related charges. Sarah Palin's husband set to undergo surgery after a serious snowmobile crash in Alaska. She was quick to thank people yesterday for their prayers. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin from Daybreak USA. Well, the winter may have been dry for you. Your hair may be a little brittle, and maybe you color your hair. Well, I've got great news for you. I told you last week one of my coworkers, Charlie, saw me in the hallway, and he said, hey, I've heard your Ovation commercials, and your hair really does look fantastic. I was kind of surprised, but hey, who doesn't want a compliment from a coworker who says your hair looks fantastic? All right, for those of us that color our hair, and a lot of us do, Ovation introduces their latest in color therapy treatment, the Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. Now, with this new color protection system by Ovation, you'll experience less color fade and longer lasting color. And who doesn't want that? And for a limited time, Ovation will pay your shipping costs if you purchase the new Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. The offer won't last long, and also, you know, you can get an introductory discount if you're a new Ovation hair care purchaser by selecting Angie Austin, Daybreak USA at checkout. OvationHair.com, OvationHair.com.
Donald Trump says he's not looking into paying the legal fees of that man who was charged for punching a protester at a North Carolina rally. The GOP frontrunner telling ABC's Good Morning America he didn't say that and no one has asked him to pay any legal fees. Russia making a surprise announcement regarding Syria. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
Russia surprised many by announcing a major pullout of their troops from Syria, claiming the troops have accomplished their mission. Peter Brooks of the Heritage Foundation says Russia still has bases in Syria despite the move.
They have an air base and they also have a long-standing naval base at Tartus. And it's likely that they'll keep those bases and they can pull troops out and they can certainly reinsert them if the situation requires it.
Brooks added Russia didn't reveal the timetable for removing their troops and how many would be leaving.
Three Chicago police officers in the hospital after being shot in the line of duty last night. Police say the injury's not life-threatening. The officers investigating possible drug activity when the shooting started. One suspect shot and killed. This is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning. It is 11:05. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's time for Chamber Radio weather. Currently 50 degrees with overcast skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. For today, slight chance of rain before noon, then a slight chance of showers between noon and 1 o'clock. Otherwise, it looks like things will be clearing up and the rain will be clearing out. For tonight, patchy fog, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 44. For tomorrow, Wednesday, scattered showers after 2 o'clock, mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Wednesday night, scattered showers mostly before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low of 44. Thursday, scattered showers in the morning, high near 59. Thursday night, slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low of 40. And finally, by Friday, it looks like we'll be seeing the sun again. Friday, partly sunny skies with a high near 54. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 32. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 49. Saturday night, slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low of 33. And Sunday, slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 49. And Sunday night, chance of rain and, the S word, snow, mostly cloudy with a low around 34. That's Hunter and Chamber Radio weather. And it's now time for Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. This is Michelle Heide with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heide and Associates in Annandale. So good morning, Joe. What's
good
happening
morning,
in the market
Michelle.
This morning?
Well, we have some stuff going on. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ are all red this morning. The Dow down 35.5 points, S&P down 10.9, the NASDAQ down 28.7. Over in Europe, we're looking at the FTSE, down 0.5%. The DAX is down a little bit over 0.6%. CAC 40 down 0.9. Oil prices are down this morning as well, which probably is the reason why our and European markets are down as well. Oil is down $1.03 a barrel. That's 2.77% to $36.15. Gold is also down $11.90 an ounce to $12.33.20. And the yield on the 10-year Treasury is currently sitting at 1.9575. So lots of red on the screen, Michelle. Even in terms of some of the reports that came out this morning, we were just looking at Diana Olick's report on the home builders that just recently came out about 5-10 minutes ago. Confidence among the nation's home builders held steady in March, although a majority of analysts had expected it to improve slightly. Even lower mortgage rates since the start of the year didn't really seem to be helping that much. The National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index was unchanged at 58. Sentiment had been as high as 62 last October, but this month's reading is an improvement over March of 2015, when sentiment stood at 52. Of the index's three components, the one measuring current sales conditions was strongest, but unchanged at 65 in March. Sales expectations in the next 6 months fell 3 points to 61. This is surprising, given that spring is considered the busiest season for the housing market. The component measuring buyer traffic rose 4 points to 43, but is the only measure in negative territory. While builder sentiment has been relatively flat for the last few months, the March HMI reading correlates with NAHB's forecast for a steady firming of the single-family sector in 2016, and that's according to the NAHB chief economist David Crow. The home builders could benefit this spring from a severe lack of existing homes for sale. They have not, however, been producing homes at near the level of demand, nor even near historical norms, never mind all of the pent-up demand from the recession. Builders have also been focused on the higher end of the market, raising prices because that's really where they see the most demand. Housing starts have been most active in multifamily apartments, not in single-family houses, where they are most needed. Regionally, on a three-month moving average, the Midwest posted a one-point gain to 58, while the South was unchanged at 59. West Coast, well, they saw a three-point decline to 69, while the Northeast fell 1 point to 46, the only region still seeing negative builder sentiment. There's also some numbers on U.S. retail sales. U.S. retail sales fell less than expected in February, but a sharp downward revision in January sales could reignite concerns for the economy's growth prospects. The Commerce Department said today retail sales dipped 0.1% last month as automobile purchases slowed and cheaper gasoline undercut receipts at service stations. January sales were revised to show a 0.25% decline instead of the previously reported 0.2% increase. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast retail sales slipping 0.2% in February. Retail sales, excluding automobiles, gasoline, building materials, and food services, were unchanged after a downwardly revised 0.2% increase in January. The so-called core retail sales correspond most closely with the consumer spending component of the gross domestic product and were previously reported to have risen about 0.6% in January. Now, last month's weak reading, together with January's modest gain, suggests that consumer spending will probably remain tepid in the first quarter after growing about 2%. That was an annualized rate for the fourth quarter. The report came as Federal Reserve officials are preparing to gather a two-day policy meeting. The U.S. Central Bank is expected to leave interest rates unchanged as policymakers monitor developments on global financial markets, domestic inflation, and the labor market. Now, the Fed hiked its benchmark overnight interest rate in December for the first time in nearly a decade, a 4.4% drop in the value of sales at service stations weighed on retail sales last month. Gasoline prices dropped 9% in February, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, as oil prices fell further. Retail sales were also hurt by a 0.2% fall in sales at auto dealerships. Auto sales declined 0.2% in January. Clothing stores, well, sales rose 0.9% last month. Receipts at building materials and garden equipment stores gained 1.6%, while sales at furniture stores fell 0.5%. Sales at sporting goods and hobby stores rose 1.2%, and sales at restaurants and bars increased 1%. Yeah, things aren't going well, so people drink. Receipts at electronics and appliance stores slipped 0.1%. Online store sales dropped 0.2%. So GDP numbers revised downward. You know, in terms of UBS, we are also looking at Morgan Stanley making the same call. They cut their GDP estimates to about 1.9% as well. So even though there has been some conversation about the potential for a Fed increase for the month of, or at least by July, all of these downward revisions really don't seem to indicate the need for it. But we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. We will find out over the next day or so if we get any new insight when the Fed minutes are released tomorrow at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's always interesting to pay attention to the market at around that time.
Yeah, so I know it's going to be hard to find the information since all of the cable news stations are still focused on the campaigns of all of the candidates. Not quite sure why Donald Trump takes up about 90% of the media time, but, hey, you know, I guess there's no media conspiracy trying to put Hillary Clinton in there by focusing on Donald Trump. Of course, none of the other Republican candidates can get airtime. So, you know how it works. If people don't get to see your face or hear your voice, they assume you're no longer interested.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and John Kasich are happy about that.
I'm sure they're thrilled. All right. We are going to take our first break of the show, and then we have lots of great information to fill the next 45 minutes of our show, have some information in regards to why investments outperform investors, the latest research by the Dow Bar Studies. And I've got some Quick and easy ways to help organize your finances as we roll into spring, which hopefully is right around the corner, and lots of other updated information as well.
Yeah, some research stuff as well, and if we have a couple of minutes, we may even talk about why 45% of Americans pay no federal income tax.
Well, that's always lovely to hear when we're all getting ready to write our tax checks in the next couple of weeks.
Trillion in debt and rising.
All right, we'll be back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntedInChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntedInChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntedInChamberRadio.com app today.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntedInChamberRadio.com. Again, this is Michelle Heide. With me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heide & Associates. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at our office, which is 908-713-6600. We're unable to take questions live on the air because in many cases, the questions are very personal and require a little bit more conversation rather than taking up airtime. So
and we don't have 15 people working in the studio for us to screen all the calls and to provide us with instant information about all of your questions so we don't look foolish. Not that we would, because between the two of us, we have over 50 years of experience. We probably know the answer to most questions, but you know, we've learned a lesson from the Trump campaign when people start yelling obscenities and doing things. And if that happens during the radio show, we get into trouble because we don't have a delay.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and don't forget to like us on Facebook. We have finally set up our Facebook page. So look us up under Patton, Heide, and Associates.
And it's okay to like us a lot.
Lots of useful articles and information and some silly photos as well.
Lots of those.
All right. So let's see. I mentioned before the break why investments outperform investors. You know, Joe and I can't tell you how often we meet with folks or we talk to folks in the community, and everyone's so concerned about the S&P 500. Now, how do you fare against the S&P? Everyone wants to compare themselves to the S&P. Throw those things out the window. It's very personalized based upon your goals and your targets.
I mean, Michelle says a very, very true thing, very accurate. I'm doing my Donald Trump imitation. But what you have to consider is that each one of you, you're unique people. And whatever your goals are, where you need to accumulate money towards those goals, require a specific rate of return based upon your ability to invest a specific amount in order for you to successfully achieve that goal within the time frame that you choose. Now, we try to build portfolios according to the needs of the client. There is no such thing as S&P 500 returns, which is the one-size-fits-all, so we all should be doing that. Because in many cases, if you looked at market performance, you know, last year, for example, on the NASDAQ, what were there, Michelle? 6-7 companies that really accounted for all of the performance of the NASDAQ for last year. Mm-hmm. So if you had a diversified portfolio, you weren't really happy. And much of that was the same for the beginning of this year. But at the same time, you know, diversification is a great way to reduce your risk within your portfolio. And over the long haul, you're pretty happy when you have something going up when other things are going down. And if you had all of your eggs in that one basket, well, we all know what happens when the basket hits the floor. And that's
exactly.
what you would be doing if you had all of your money in an S&P 500 index fund. And even if you did, you wouldn't really perform at the level of the S&P 500 because even index funds have fees. So your performance would be that of the index less the cost of the investment.
Exactly, exactly. So when it comes to investing, you know, the stock markets are overvalued, the trend for the stock markets has been negative or too positive, interest rates are too high or too low, the Fed is tightening, the Fed is too loose. These are just some of the hurdles and excuses that people put in the way of making decisions to invest. But wait a minute, isn't not choosing to invest really an investment decision? In reality, it is. The funds are always somewhere, whether they're in cash, money markets, or other investments. While an investor may protest and say their non-decision is only to protect capital, the reality is that the facts simply don't support that view. So Dalbar, who's a leading research firm in financial services, has conducted an extensive study for the last 20 years examining the impact of investor decisions on their results. So you'll notice, and feel free to reach out to us if you'd like a copy of the study, or just Google Dalbar and you'll be able to pull the information up. There is a large discrepancy between investor results and investment results. The message is investments perform better than investors. Yes, investments perform better than investors. Why? Well, when people only invest when they feel good about current market conditions, they endure a large negative impact on their results. So the evidence against market timing as a successful strategy is overwhelming. Investors often don't look at their decisions as market timing, but too often they are. Too often they become monofocused on the stock market as if it were the only investment choice available, when in fact, contemporary portfolio design will incorporate in a portfolio several non-market selections that exhibit low to negative correlation with the market. By adding non-traditional investments, such as managed futures, absolute return strategies, etc., to reduce volatility and deliver reasonable returns, helps your portfolio to meet those overall goals and dreams. So in working with many clients over the years and seeing the impact that financial decisions have had on meeting and achieving their needs, those who thought of their investment decisions through a matrix of risk and return over the long term and acted on those decisions through a well thought out, intelligently diversified portfolio were able to get where they were headed with a high probability of success. Those who became frozen in place, also with a high probability, ended up disappointed and frustrated by not being able to meet those goals. So, you know, it's probably occurred to many of you out there that there are times, you know, if we look at the weather, you know, well, I don't want to go out, I don't want to take a jog because it's too cold or it's windy or it's this or it's that. Well, most of the time in terms of the markets, you know, there's always the potential for less than favorable conditions. But in many cases, that doesn't always come to fruition. So when it comes to investing, market storms come and go, but with a well-designed, well-thought-out strategy, using a broad base of asset classes and accounting for many likely yet unpredictable scenarios, you can weather them quite well. So again, keep that in mind. And even though it's human nature to let our emotions get the best of us, and that's one of, you know, one of the roles working with and hiring a financial professional is help you stay focused on the big picture and not letting you feed into those investor emotions that can sometimes get quite difficult during difficult markets. On conversely, you know, those emotions can also lead to too much greed. And there are times when the markets are doing extremely well where a good financial advisor, again, will help you stay focused on those objectives and making sure that you're making adjustments to, again, incorporate the risk strategies into that overall
portfolio. It's so hard not to be scared because every time you turn on the television or look at your computer or pick up a newspaper, there's somebody out there trying to get you all nervous and jerky about what's going on in the world's markets. But
absolutely. I mean,
even on Monday, there was a story on the front page of the Monday's Wall Street Journal, and it focused on an issue that has become a common story of late. That is the rising delinquency rates for subprime auto loans, and you thought I was going to say college.
Oh.
Bad loans could certainly be a threat to some direct players of the space. However, the broader economic threat is minimum in our view. And let's do the math. As noted in the article, the Wall Street Journal article, total auto loans outstanding are nearly $1 trillion, and that's according to Federal Reserve data. Now, according to the article, subprime loans account for approximately 20% of this total, as estimated by the credit agency Experian. This brings us to $200 billion. Now, the Wall Street Journal article notes that the number of subprime auto loans currently 60 days past due recently reached a two-decade high of 5.16%. Now, put into dollar terms, this would mean that the subprime auto debt, approximating $10.3 billion, was recently 60 days overdue. Of course, just like any other loan category, default rates are typically much less than 60-day overdue rates. So even if half of the 60-day overdue cohort were to continue on to default, this would lower the approximate value of the defaulted loans to about $5 billion. For individual securitized bond offerings directly made up of such loans, this could certainly be a problem. Rising default rates in the space could also become problematic for the auto industry if the loan standards were to tighten in response. For the broader economy, however, we do not see this issue to be a material threat. So, you know, pay attention to default rates, but again, blowing everything out of proportion to scare people is not a good thing.
Absolutely not.
So let's see, where do we stand right now in the markets, Michelle? I think we're probably still a bit red. Yes,
still
we
a
are.
Bit red, yes.
But it's not as red. Dow Jones Industrial is currently at 17,212, down 16.33. Let's see, about 0.08. And that's not bad. Now we're down just a little bit over 14 points. The S&P 500 down 7.51, 0.37, 3/10 of a percent. NASDAQ at 47.33, down 16.78. And in Europe, FTSE still down 0.5%. DAX is down 6/10. CAC 40 down 9/10. Oil prices are down $1 at $36.17. And gold is at $12.31, down $14.10. The 10-year Treasury yield up 1.9681%. So, got some improvement there. So, what else you got?
Well, I was mentioning about investments versus investor and some of the statistics, and I shared some of these on the morning show with Chris last week, since March 9th marked the 7-year anniversary of the end of the financial crisis. So, for instance,
Does that mean we're itching for a new one now after 7 years?
No, not necessarily. Yeah, even though this is a longer than average bull market, in the first 2 years following the March 9th, 2009 bear market closing low of 677, the S&P 500 gained 101.7% in terms of total return, counting the impact of reinvested dividends through March 9th of 2011. In years 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, following its March 9th, 2009 bear market closing low, the S&P has gained an additional 70%. So again, just for clarification, the S&P 500 consists of 500 stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. It is a market value weighted index with each stock's weight in the index proportionate to its market value. So again, I was mentioning earlier, you know, it's never a good time to invest. I'm still nervous about the financial crisis, blah, 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 blah. If you are still sitting in cash, obviously you've just missed a very large, really good opportunity. You know, even though, again, we realize it was painful because the S&P 500 bottomed at 677 that day, and that was the end of a 17-month bear market in which the index fell 57%. Now, that was only 17 months, you know, pretty much the average of a bear market. Bull markets tend to last a lot longer. Again, keeping everything in perspective. And it's interesting, there's also a quote from John Authors, who was a journalist from the Financial Times newspaper, who wrote the morning after March 9th of 2009, quote unquote, "Perhaps the greatest reason for hope for the U.S. stock market at present is that almost all hope seems to have been lost." And right then and there was when the market started its bull market cycle. So
yes, When things are always looking the worst, that is usually when we are near the bottom.
Exactly.
And people are screaming, they're running out of their homes with their hands in the air, saying, no more, I can't take it any longer. And that's when the smart people like Warren Buffett are like, yes, time to buy.
Exactly. Just like when you're on a roller coaster. You know, you're a little nervous and you're just like, oh my God, is the ride over yet? And then just when you're getting a little bit excited about the ride being over, it's over. And then you're thinking to yourself, I want to go back on again.
Do it again.
Let's do it again.
There's always an opportunity to do it again in the market. You just have to remember what you did the time before and maybe not make that same mistake.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, there are tons of charts out there that show the importance of staying invested. If you miss out on the five best days in the market in any given year, it can have a dramatic effect.
But there are a lot of articles out
there
from people who are saying, oh, no, you shouldn't do that, you know, because it's going to take you a while to regain, you know, the losses that you incurred when the market dropped. Well, they're not losses until you sell your shares. So, number one, that's not correct. Number two, they're telling you that so they can get you nervous enough to take your money out of something that is going to recover to put your money into something that pays them large commissions. There's always a reason why they try to get you to move your money around because as long as your money's sitting, they can't make anything off of it.
Exactly. All right. We are at the bottom of the hour. We are going to take a short break and check on the local news and weather, and then we'll be back with some things about money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Looks like Trump has got the Republican side. He's not a political insider. I think he should pick Kasich as his running mate.
Voting is underway today in another round of key presidential primaries, and today's contest could mark a turning point in the race for the White House.
Do you care about the election?
No.
I'd probably go for Kasich right now.
Kasich could be out.
Can't see myself voting for Trump.
So if Kasich doesn't get in, what are you going to do?
Probably not vote.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I have no alternative.
Alice Stockton-Rossini talking with voters early this morning. The governor of Georgia threatening to veto a bill to allow guns on college campuses in the state if lawmakers don't make major changes. Governor Nathan Deal wants universities to be able to set their own rules regarding disciplinary hearings for weapons-related charges. Sarah Palin's husband set to undergo surgery after a serious snowmobile crash in Alaska. She was quick to thank people yesterday for their prayers. This is USA Radio News.
Control, this is QL1. Side hatch is secure.
QL1, this is Control. We copy. Showing normal cabin pressure. Over.
Control, this is QL1. Do you like mortgages?
That's a negative, QL1. Over.
Control, do you like rockets?
That's affirmative, QL1. Over.
Do you like rocket mortgages?
I'm listening. Over.
Of course you are, Control. Everyone likes rockets. Control, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that turns the entire mortgage process into a fast, powerful, completely online experience.
Copy that, QL1. I'm going to go ahead and push this button in
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
All right. It is 11:32 and time for 100 in Chamber Radio weather. Currently 50 degrees with overcast skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. Looks like there is a slight chance of rain for the rest of the day today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 59. For tonight, some patchy fog. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low of 44. Tomorrow, there's a slight chance of some showers after 2 o'clock, mostly cloudy with a high of 64. Wednesday night, also a chance of some showers, mostly cloudy with a low of 44. Thursday, about a 40% chance of some showers throughout the day with a high near 59. Then by the time Friday rolls around, we should have partly sunny skies with a high near 54. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 49. And then come Sunday into Monday, there is some possibility of precipitation in the form of hopefully just rain, but possibly snow, depending upon where the temperatures end up. So that's 100inchamberradio.com weather. And we're now back with some things about money here on 100inchamberradio.com. Before we go back into our show topics, I just wanted to share the 100 in County Chamber of Commerce Women's Business Committee is hosting our annual summit on Tuesday, April 19th over at the Ryland Inn from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pat and Heidi and Associates is the presenting sponsor this year, and we really have a great lineup of speakers. Our theme is communication, connections, and community. We have Ann Thornton kicking things off as our morning speaker, talking about 10 reasons to connect like crazy. Then we've got some breakout sessions talking about the power of presence, philanthropy on a budget, making your message matter, and how to create a business network. And then we're excited to have Michelle Sikirka, the president of the NJBIA, as our lunchtime keynote. It's really a great day of information, idea sharing, and making some new connections. So again, that is taking place on Tuesday, April 19th from 8 to 2 over at the Ryland Inn, who always just does a fabulous job with the food and the layout, and it's just really a nice day. It's a women's summit, but we're not limited to just women. Men are allowed to come as well. So for more information, feel free to reach out to the chamber at 908-782-7115 or go to the chamber's website, which is www.hunterdon-chamber.org, and click on events, and that will lead you to the summit information as well.
All right. We're back. Well, just in the spirit of the election coming up again today, people are out there voting in this mini Super Tuesday. I just recall watching what was going on in Chicago the other night when they canceled a Trump rally. You had all these people in the area. I guess it had to be at least 1,000 protesters, and so many of them were like flashing their Bernie Sanders signs. And I found it was interesting when Bernie was asked about that, how he put all of the blame on Donald Trump, who, of course, probably needs to share some of that for the rhetoric that he's been talking about. But it occurred to me that we have this thing called the First Amendment, freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And you have people like the George Soros group, MoveOn.org, Black Lives Matter, and so many of the Bernie crowd disrupting what was supposed to be a rally for their candidate. You know, whether you agree with what he says or not, that does not mean that you have the right to take away someone's First Amendment right. And I would think Bernie would realize that. But then again, Bernie is a socialist who, I guess, did his honeymoon in the Soviet Union years ago and really has said and done some things that makes you wonder. And let's not forget that Bill Ayers was also in the crowd, the president's buddy, the guy who got his campaign kicked off in terms of fundraising in his house in Chicago. But, you know, in the spirit of all of that, I was just looking at this article that talked about how an estimated 45.3% of American households, roughly 77.5 million, pay no federal income tax. Now, Bernie, I understand that, you know, it's the billionaires that are the problem with this country. And you've built your entire campaign about the evils of Wall Street and the rich who are taking, you know, advantage of the poor downtrodden. Well, Bernie, in case you've forgotten, there are only 536 billionaires in the entire United States. Again, 536, yet you've built your entire campaign around them. And, oh, by the way, the majority of them, they're Democrats. So, the information as far as the 77.5 million that aren't paying any tax, well, that was the data for year 2015 from the Tax Policy Center, a nonpartisan Washington-based research group. Now, roughly half pay no income tax because they have no taxable income. And the other, well, and again, that's a little bit difficult to pay a $19 trillion debt amount when half of your country isn't contributing to paying the debt.
Yes.
But roughly the other half get, well, they get tax breaks to erase their tax liability if you do have income. So, you know, it's not such a bad gig for people who get to take advantage of entitlement programs, transportation, housing subsidies, education, health care, and everything else on the backs of the rest of us. Now, despite the fact that rich people paying little in the way of income taxes, making plenty of headlines, really that's the exception to the rule. The top 1% of taxpayers pay a higher effective income tax rate than any other group. That's around 23%, according to the report released by the Tax Policy Center in 2014. Now, that's nearly 7 times higher than those in the bottom 50%. On average, those in the bottom 40% of the income spectrum end up getting money from the government. Meanwhile, the richest 20% of Americans, By far, they pay the most income taxes, forking over nearly 80% of all the income tax collected by Uncle Sam. Let me repeat. The richest 20% are forking over nearly 80% of all income taxes collected by Uncle Sam. Now, the top 1% of Americans who have an average income of more than $2.1 million pay 43.6% of all the federal income tax in the United States. The top 0.1%, that's just 115,000 households whose average income is more than $9.4 million, a lot of money, pay more than 20% of it. When it comes to all federal taxes, individual income, payroll, excise, corporate income, estate taxes, the distributions of who pays what is spread out even more. This is partially because, well, nearly everyone pays excise taxes, which includes taxes on gasoline, alcohol, and cigarettes. So, yeah, I understand those are paid by everybody. Sales taxes, they're paid by anybody who buys anything. But the fact of the matter is, it's getting a little bit old to keep hearing political candidates demonize those individuals who are responsible for such a high percentage of job creation and such a high percentage of the funding of entitlement programs that the, let's say, less fortunate end up using. And if you wanted to break it down even more, there was an interesting article that came out today on the constituents of the different candidates running for office. And I found it interesting that the people who were in the best position in terms of credit rating mm-hmm. were supporters of John Kasich. Now, let's see if that gets reported anywhere.
Oh, probably not. Imagine it.
So, update. Let's see, where are we at even now, Michelle? Come on. We have to be looking
we're still
at...
We're still in the red, but...
I can't stand it. Come on, we got to be green by the time we finish.
We're getting closer to green.
Well, we were getting closer to green, but now things have gotten a little bit redder again. The Dow's down 26.5, S&P down 9.7, NASDAQ down 24, so come on.
Healthcare is currently weighing, it looks like, between that and oil prices going down a little bit. Healthcare, I know that there was an announcement that Valiant has lowered their guidance for the rest of the year, so they got hammered. You know, that's still they still continue to dominate a lot of the news in that industry.
Yes, they do. And, you know, healthcare, biotech, pharmaceuticals, they're going to be under pressure until the election is over and, you know, we can get back to normal because in every campaign, doesn't it always seem that, you know, the healthcare industry is the whipping boy for every presidential,
yes,
senatorial,
does.
Or House candidate? Because it's such a populist issue that people don't want to have to pay for this stuff. And it does cost an awful lot to develop. And you have all of these FDA regulations that these hurdles that you have to jump over in order to get something to market. But then when it finally does come to market, quite frankly, a lot of the pharmaceutical companies are looking to make outrageous profits off of that drug. Now, of course, what the candidates don't tell you is that for every drug that is successful and makes it to market, there's a whole bunch that never see the light of day. And all of that investment has to be recaptured from the drugs that do.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have what we have right now in terms of cancer treatment and treatment for everything else. So no one likes to pay for it.
Right. There would be no innovation.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, for every success, there are how many failures, but we wouldn't have gotten those successes if we didn't go through the iterations of a lot of the failures
and
that then led to those successes.
Blame the victim, but quite frankly, if you're exhibiting bad behavior, you know, through your bad diet or you smoke or you lead a sedentary lifestyle or, you know, you do any other things that contribute to the deterioration of your health, well, when you multiply that times the masses who are doing the same thing, no wonder the cost of healthcare is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a system that allows for, you know, companies to take advantage to generate more profit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all
Absolutely.
Took responsibility for our own choices, maybe it would be cheaper and the system would be more efficient.
Exactly. If we did a lot more preventative measures, you didn't have to focus on the treatment, but actually on the prevention of certain ailments.
Like not vote for progressive liberals so we don't end up having all of these extra costs and regulations that stifle innovation?
All right, let's see. Speaking of taxes, we do have up until April 18th this year to file our taxes, and then Maine and Massachusetts actually have until April 19th. They have an extra day to file their taxes for 2015. So a couple of last-minute things you can still do. One of those is, before you simply make a deposit into your existing IRA account, if you're eligible, consider the Roth IRA alternative. So if you or your spouse have earned income of at least the amount of your contributions and your modified adjusted gross income is less than $116,000 for single filers, less than $183,000 if you're married filing jointly, you would be eligible for a Roth IRA contribution. You can contribute up to $5,500 if you are less than 50 years old and $6,500 if you are 50 or older. Allowable contributions begin to phase out with higher modified adjusted gross incomes, so talk to your tax professionals so you have a correct understanding of how a Roth IRA would impact your taxes. So a couple of the advantages are contributions are not tax deductible, but the qualified earnings grow tax-free, and unlike traditional IRAs, qualified withdrawals are not taxed if all IRS conditions are met. Again, there are some conditions that have to be met. Nothing is ever a free lunch. So this can make the Roth a good choice for people who qualify and would like a source of tax-free income in retirement. There are also no required minimum distribution requirements as well. Unlike traditional IRAs, where you have to begin taking withdrawals in the year that you turn 70 and a half, you do not have that with Roth IRAs, so you can continue to accumulate earnings on a tax-free basis. So something to keep in mind. Again, we still have a couple more weeks left before we have to file our taxes. A couple things to keep in mind and talk to your tax professional about in regards to trying to either lower your taxable income today and or in the future, because just like with your investments, it also does make sense to consider diversifying from a tax perspective, not knowing where tax rates are going in the future. And again, based on a lot of conversations, it's possible that your tax bracket might be higher in retirement. You never want to assume you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. So,
yes.
Keep those thoughts in mind. All right, we are going to do a quick break, and then we'll be back to wrap up today's show of Some Things About Money. Thanks for tuning in to 100andchamberradio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back to wrap up today's Some Things About Money here on 100andchamberradio.com. As mentioned earlier, feel free to give our office a call at 908-713-6600 if you have any questions or an idea for a future show. Let's see, I mentioned earlier, spring hopefully is right around the corner, and there are a couple of ways to start organizing your finances this spring. I mean, a lot of folks are still in organizing information for tax purposes. Once you get through that, it'll be time to start organizing your other financial life matters. So a couple things to start with. You know, first and foremost, you might want to consider consolidating old retirement accounts. As you move from one job to the next, it's easy to lose track of where you've left retirement money behind. So take the time to go back and figure it out. You might be paying higher fees in your old accounts or missing out on a chance to invest in a wider variety of funds. Not to mention it only gets harder to manage various financial accounts the older you get. Once you know where those accounts are, figure out where you're moving them. You can either set up a new IRA or request a rollover to your current 401k plan if your new plan allows for rollover dollars. Then you want to make a list of any older 401k accounts and contact them to figure out how to initiate the rollover. Nowadays, a lot of that can be done right over the phone. Keep in mind, don't be tempted to just cash out and plunk those funds from your retirement accounts and take the cash and run, because again, you'll be hit with taxes, and if you're under 59 and a half, you'll also have to pay that 10% premature withdrawal penalty. Secondly, update your insurance policies. At least once a year, run a check on your insurance policies to be sure your beneficiaries are set up the way you want them and that you aren't over or underpaying for your policies. You want to start by making a list of your policies, like renters or homeowners, auto insurance, life insurance. With life insurance, you might want to make sure you're updating your beneficiaries first. You know, for example, especially if you've gotten divorced and you still have your ex-spouse listed as the primary beneficiary, my guess is you probably don't want it set up that way. You might want to review that. If your family has expanded, it's probably time to increase your policy and, again, update your beneficiaries as well. For your homeowners or renters insurance, inventory is everything. Nowadays, with phones being able to take photos, you can walk from room to room with a camera and snap photos of all valuables as well as their value, how much it would cost you to replace them if they got damaged. You may find that your current policy is too small to cover everything, especially if you've made some renovations or upgraded appliances or furniture. If so, log online to make those adjustments or give them a call. You don't have to make auto insurance updates every year, but it is smart to keep an eye out for better rates every couple of years or so. So there are some tools like NerdWallet or Bankrate to compare rates, and then you can call your current insurer and let them know that you're ready to walk. They might in turn offer a more competitive rate. Never hurts to ask. You also want to take a look at eliminating the paper trail. With tax season upon us, this is a great chance to toss out old documents that you don't need anymore. The IRS recommends hanging on to tax documents for 7 years. Unless you own a business, then you typically want to hold on to them longer. You can get rid of bank and credit card statements after a year, but why not go paperless and not have to think about it at all? Your lenders and banks should be able to keep track of all of your documents online. You also want to do a credit checkup. AnnualCreditReport.com is your best friend. Get reports from all three major credit bureaus and check them for errors. Common errors include misspelled names, incorrect payment history, or worst of all, finding lines of credit that have been taken out without your knowledge. If you find mistakes, immediately report them to each credit bureau. And then lastly, declutter the junk. An organized home can actually save you money. Think about all the times you've bought extra batteries, toilet paper, groceries, only to find out that you had all that stuff lying around anyway. Clear out the clutter and keep an updated list of essentials you have on hand. While you're cleaning out cupboards and closets, look for old clothing, kids' toys, appliances, or electronics you can sell or donate, and in turn end up getting a tax deduction for next year, or this year, but that gets done for next year. All right, a couple helpful hints there. All right.
Balancing work and life, Michelle. Do you know baby boomers that own businesses work more hours per week? That's 47.1 hours. Than millennials who own businesses? Yeah, the boomers, 47.1 versus millennials at 38.8. So, you know, and baby boomers, of course, are traditionally defined as the 78 million Americans ages 52 to 70 in 2016. Millennials defined as 75 million Americans between ages of 19 and 35. So I guess there is really is a difference in work ethic between the boomers and the millennials.
Absolutely. We kind of see it.
Every day.
Not every day, but we hear it. And it's interesting, you know, in terms of, you know, folks that are working in corporate jobs and things like that, you know, hearing more and more often, oh, I just, you know, they're giving me more responsibility. Now I'm doing the job of two or three people and they haven't increased my pay at all. But they're still working the long hours and they're still putting their time in and they still have that work ethic going on.
That's true. And if you're wondering about the labor force, after 2008 when so many people were forced out of their jobs before their, let's say, anticipated retirement age. 60% of current retirees retired sooner than expected. 7% retired later than expected. And 33% retired at the age they had anticipated. So 60%, you know, that's a big number. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, again, how often do we talk to people and say, oh, I'm never going to retire? Well, guess what? Sometimes you don't necessarily have a choice in that matter.
And those folks are no longer included in the unemployment, the headline unemployment number. In fact, many of them may not even be included in the U6 number as they get to an older age, but they were displaced from their employment around 2008, and here we are, 2016, and they're not even considered part of the equation, and that is so sad.
No. But we do have some folks that are definitely working hard out there on the baseball field.
You think?
There are 126 Major League Baseball players that will make at least $10 million this season, including the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw.
Hey, Bernie, that's where you can get some money.
Who will be making $32 million this season.
And how many people do they employ? I'm sorry. It's baseball. It's the American, traditional sport. And, it's okay for baseball players and entertainers in general to make all of this money. And yet they really don't make much of a contribution when it comes to creating new jobs and broadening the tax base, do they?
No, they do not.
Yeah, well.
And unfortunately, how often do we hear the stories of when those professional players retire from their sport within a few years, the money's all gone.
Yeah, it's kind of like being a lottery winner.
So I guess they do, in turn, somewhat put it back into the economy, but don't necessarily know which sectors of the economy those dollars are going back into.
Gold chains.
But anywho.
Cars. I have no idea. But
I don't know.
But anyway, we digress.
All right.
And it's good that we are digressing when we are, because it's just about time to end the show. And I just want to thank you once again for listening to us here at Some Things About Money. And remind you that, yes, you do want to get all of your tax information together, but don't be surprised that if you have non-qualified brokerage accounts and you were in such a hurry to file that you may not get a letter in the mail from your brokerage company saying that we have some revised tax information for you. Because we have been warning you about this for some time now, but not everyone listens. And I know we're in a rush because generally it's because we've over-withheld, and we think somehow it's a good thing to do that, and we want to get our money back because, quite frankly, the government hasn't given us any interest on it for that extra payment early on. But anyway, if you do get a check in the mail, I would suggest that you may consider going out shopping and go shopping here in Hunterdon County, because you have a lot of small businesses that make up the shopping businesses in the county, and they work a lot of hours, and probably more than the 47.1 that the average baby boomer works, and sort of the backbone of the community. They do employ a lot of people, and they make a lot of contributions to nonprofit organizations and to the schools, and they just do a lot, and quite frankly, the county wouldn't be the same without them. So show them your support. Get
Absolutely.
Out there. It's time to buy stuff for the Easter season. I know we all want to start looking at buying new outfits. Well, not me. Maybe
well,
a
no,
sweatshirt.
I was just going to mention, because I heard on the radio this morning, it's interesting. Kids are now kind of demanding what they want the Easter Bunny to put in their baskets. Whatever happened to being a little kid, the Easter Bunny puts a few jelly beans and a couple of little Easter eggs in your basket. And
candy.
That was it. And it
That's
was fun.
Evil.
You did an egg hunt. Now kids are like, ooh, I want this. I want that. I want this. And it's not Christmas or Hanukkah, folks. It's Easter.
It's
not about filling the basket with lots of stuff.
To make mom and dad feel guilty or to compete for their attention.
I don't know.
Show
like,
the other kids in school that you have more than they do.
What are we turning into
because
here?
Because I guess that's what's really important.
I think I'm going to have the Easter Bunny leave a note in the Easter basket that says, on your behalf, I've donated X amount of dollars to such and such terrible organizations to help those in need.
Yeah, well, that would be a good thing.
With a few jelly beans, of course.
Why don't we just send an extra check into the government to cover the debt? That would help too. But anyway, be that as it may, I just want to encourage you to go out there, enjoy the day, whether it's raining or not. Just remember, you do have to buy your kids all that stuff.
Buy
local. When you do, buy 100 in, buy often.
Have a great Tuesday. Good week. We'll be back again next Tuesday on Some Things About Money.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
I looked and I watched and I'm going to make a decision, but I certainly don't condone violence.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump was asked on ABC's Good Morning America if he'll pay the legal fees of a man who was charged for punching a protester at a North Carolina rally.
I haven't looked at it yet and nobody's asked me to pay for fees and somebody asked me the question and I hadn't even seen it.
This comes after saying on Meet the Press Sunday that he instructed his people to look into paying the man's legal bills. Trump previously said at one rally that he would pay the legal fees of anyone who would knock the crap out of tomato-throwing protesters. Voting is underway today in another round of key presidential primaries. Republican and Democratic voters are headed to the polls in Florida, Ohio, Illinois, Missouri, and North Carolina. Ohio Governor John Kasich and Florida Senator Marco Rubio desperately need victories in their home states to stay alive in the Republican race. This is USA Radio News.
Tales of American Political History.